Gospel of John, chapter 2, and verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Just a verse in chapter 20, please. Chapter 20, verse 30. Verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Just a verse in chapter 21, verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. I want to speak, beloved, now to you, just very, very briefly and simply, on these eight miracles, or as John really declares them to be, signs. Every miracle that the Lord Jesus performed were signs, evidences of his messiahship and his sonship. Israel did not realize that the very God of Israel, in the person of the Lord Jesus, was in their midst. The Lord Jesus never did any miracle as the Son of Mary. He never did any miracle for his own end. And he never did any miracle merely to produce astonishment or wonder. It's much deeper than that. Four of these eight miracles in the Gospel of John were wrought in Galilee, changing the water into wine, the healing of the nobleman's son, the feeding of the 5,000, and the walking on the water. Three of the miracles were done in Judea, the healing of the impotent man in John 5, of the blind man in John chapter 9, and the greatest miracle of all, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. These miracles could be considered in many ways. But what I want to do is to link some of the Jehovah titles in the Old Testament with each of these eight miracles. For they prove to us that the Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus in the New. In the first sign wrought by our Lord Jesus in John chapter 2, namely the changing of water into wine at Cana of Galilee at a marriage. I think we see that title at the end, the last verse of Ezekiel 48, verse number 35, I think it is, of the future millennial city. What a wonderful name it will have. The name of the city is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. In other words, Jehovah Shammah simply, wonderfully means the presence of the Lord and the difference that makes. I want to submit to you the presence of the Lord Jesus at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. Made all the difference. Had he not been there, the deficiency of no wine would never have been met. The need would not have been fulfilled. His mother comes to him and says, they have no wine. You know what I said? Christ is always grand. In emergencies. He always is. Have we not proved it in our own lives? Times of emergency and crisis. If we didn't have Christ, we would have sunk. We would have gone down. Let us remember, beloved, that the Lord Jesus is the only one indispensable to us. We can say that of no one else. Here is Jehovah Shammah. Isn't it good that we read that both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage? You know, home is the highest institution. Indeed, for that matter, the institution of marriage and the home is the highest institution. But here, the wine fails. I want to say this to you. However high and sweet and blessed the happiness of the home or the married life may be, and we hope it is not, are you listening? It is not in itself sufficient to satisfy the spiritual appetites of the soul. You must have something more than your husband, something more than your wife, to fill your heart, to give you spiritual joy. Well, it's Christ. Well, that's the secret of a happy marriage. The enjoyment of the Lord Jesus. I hope if you're planning your marriage, young believer, if you're engaged, bring the Lord in. Give him preeminence. Make sure there's going to be a testimony to him and he will have the glory. Don't be ashamed to associate the name of the Lord Jesus with your marriage and your marriage day. We all need to enjoy the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a difference that makes to marriage. And here we see Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Jesus was there. And the need was met. He's Jehovah Shammah. You know the word was, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. might have been contrary to common sense for these servants to do that and pour in the water. But they did exactly what the Lord Jesus said. And what blessing. What wonderful result. I know the Christians talk a lot about sanctified common sense. All right. To some extent, I know what you mean. If Abraham had been dictated to by common sense, he would never have gone up Mount Moriah. And if Rahab had been dictated to by so-called common sense, Rahab would never have done what she did in betraying a city. It all looked as if it was murder, outwardly to men, and betraying a city. But it wasn't. It was acts of faith. You know, sometimes, now be careful here, sometimes faith does clash with so-called common sense and what men expect. Of course, we have to be sensible, and yes, we have to be consistent and careful as Christians. The practical lesson that we learn from John 2 is, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Not some things, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I hope your marriage is a happy marriage. Did you believe what our brother has been teaching? I 100% endorse it. I think it's important to say that publicly. Now, death indeed is the only thing that breaks the marriage bond. But make sure you bring the Lord in. You know the Lord Jesus Christ as Jehovah Shammah. I hope you're getting on well with your husband and you're getting on well with your wife. Maybe you have the occasional tip, if you know what that means over here. Maybe you do. But I hope before the sun goes down and you go to bed that you've put it all right. You've put it all right. What do you think about your wife? Spurgeon had a godly wife, and I never knew he was capable of writing a verse like this. Heaven bless the wives. They fill our hives with little bees and honey. They soothe our socks and mend our... they soothe our shocks and mend our socks, but don't they spend the money? Is this Spurgeon? I don't know what point he was trying to get over. And maybe his wife was pretty quick, you know, and she might have written another verse for him, for the husband. But all I'm getting over is, are you enjoying your married life? Is the Lord everything to you? Is he present? You know, things may not be going well. Things may be hard. Hard to make ends meet and all that kind of thing and the pressure of life today. But if your marriage is in the Lord and you have the Lord with you, as Jehovah Shammah, he'll carry you through. He will! So I see in the first miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ that Jehovah Shammah. Then we move to the second sign. We just briefly refer to this in John chapter 4, the healing of the nobleman's son. And I think we see Jehovah Rophika here. This is from Exodus 15. Jehovah Rophika. What's that? The law that healeth thee. You know, when I think of this miracle of the healing of the nobleman's son at the end of John chapter 4, I can't help but think about that verse. Is it in Psalm 105 or Psalm 107 around that part, you know, somewhere? When you join the 60 club, you know, your mind is... Yeah. He sent his word and healed them. Isn't that great? He sent his word and healed them. You know, for the healing of the nobleman's son, the second sign in John 4, it didn't require the personal presence of Christ. He didn't have to take the journey, those 20 miles, to Capernaum. He didn't have to go down. He didn't have to be present. He sent his word and I admire the faith of the nobleman who came to the Lord Jesus in his anxiety for his son. And the Lord said to him, go thy way, thy son liveth. If that had been me, I'd have rushed back as soon as I could. But it seems that the nobleman went back to Capernaum with a leisurely pace, because the next day, as he's on his way and nears the home, the servants come to him and say, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever began to move away, began to subside. He gradually, slowly was getting better. Now, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Left him. Isn't that great? Not only did the nobleman believe, but all in the house believed. Isn't that good? To think that the power of the Lord Jesus traveled down those miles to where the boy was and healed him instantly. I have no doubt, shadow of a doubt in my mind, that this proves that the Lord Jesus was Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healed. What a great Savior we have. When I come to the third sign that we did refer to in John chapter 5, the healing of the impotent man beside the pool of Bethesda, I think we see Jehovah Tsidkenu. We take this from Jeremiah chapter 23. It's a wonderful expressive title of the Lord, and it will be true for Israel in a future day. Jehovah my righteousness. And where do we see this? Ah, the impotent man is cured. Yes, we saw what the pool couldn't do. The Lord Jesus immediately, instantly, perfectly, completely did. He turned from the pool to the person. From the insufficiency of the pool to the glorious sufficiency of Christ. Ah, but having healed the man. He wants that man. Here are the demands of grace, beloved. Oh, you get the disease that reminds us of the disease of sin. Yes, you do. But you get also the demands of grace, the demands of grace. The healing has taken place. The wonderful miracle has been wrought. Instantly. The man is cured. Ah, but the Lord would make a demand upon him, he says. Go and sin no more. And we can apply that in a very searching and practical way. God has saved us and cured us from the awful malady and sickness and disease of sin. Thank God. And the best and the greatest of all physicians has prescribed himself as the medicine. And his charges, absolutely free. Isn't that good? No convalescence. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. My great. Having healed us, as it were, and cured us, he wants us to live practically a clean life. He wants us to know what it is, in the language of Romans chapter 6, to bring forth fruits unto righteousness. Once we were the servants of sin, now we are the servants of righteousness. Is that clear? The sinful nature stood within us. And never, 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 never will be eradicated until we get home to glory and have a body of glory. I refer to Spurgeon. One day he was at a big Christian conference, thousands there, and he heard a learned doctor say, he had never sinned for so many years. Advocating sinless perfection. Ooh, that made Mr. Spurgeon rather hot. He thought, I'll show this man whether it's sinless perfection or not, he said. Sitting at the breakfast table the next day, I wouldn't try this. I wouldn't have the nerve. But he took a big pitcher of milk. He was sitting next to him, got it, and poured the whole contents of the head of the man. And he just brushed down a fit of temper. He disproved in less than a second, indeed, this ridiculous, this terrible, terrible notion. Ah, Christian isn't sinless. He sins less.
sinless.
By the help of the indwelling power of the Spirit of God, the believer
should overcome sin.
The difference between an unbeliever is that sin reigns in him as well as dwells in him. But with a believer, although sin principle still dwells in us, it shouldn't reign in us. That's the point. Go and sin no more, says the Lord.
Let us remind our hearts that the Lord Jesus is righteous, just, holy. And he expects to see something of that character in our own lives.
Our Lord is Jehovah Shammah. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu. Come now to the fourth sign. John chapter 6. I refer to the wonderful miracle of the feeding of the 5,000.
What a wonderful miracle it was.
You have heard of the title, haven't you? From Genesis chapter 22. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide.
Oh, you've got it now, haven't you?
Philip said to the Lord, 200 pennies of bread is not sufficient.
5,000 people? Possibly more with women and children?
Look at the scanty store, Lord. We have so little. Impossible, Lord.
Thank God for divine resources. And from food so slim, a great miracle occurred. The bread was multiplied, and the fishes were multiplied.
Jehovah Jireh, the need was there to meet the need physically of this vast throng.
And he met the need. No, there was no confusion. I don't think there were. No. They weren't queuing up to get the bread. They were set down in a very orderly way.
And what a privilege for these disciples to distribute and be servants of the Lord. This food, I'm sure they would never forget the experience.
Amazing.
Can the Lord Jesus meet my need today? Is he still Jehovah Jireh? Can he provide?
Thank God, yes.
We used to have a very noted preacher years ago in Scotland. He loved the tabernacle. Cycled all over Scotland and right down to the south of England with a big chart of the tabernacle on his bicycle. He knew what it was to depend upon on the Lord and have his trials and go without food and so on. And one day at home, he and his wife were expecting some friends to come. And his dear wife was very worried because they didn't have a thing in the house. Just happened to be, they didn't have a thing. And she couldn't set the table. And she was so worried, she said to him, Willie, I can't stand it. I can't face these people. I'm going out. So she went out. How long, I don't know, a half an hour or an hour. And then she came back. And when she came through the door into the living room and into the dining room, there was the table, fully laden with food. And she blurted out,
Willie, have you been down the street telling my mother?
She lived down the street. No, said he. I was in the bedroom telling your father.
He had gone into the bedroom and committed it to the Lord and prayed about it. And the next door neighbor was expecting friends, but they sent word they can't come. And she'd been baking, and she came a little bit diffidently and apologetically to Willie.
Could he use this? Use it? Of course he could.
The Lord has wonderful ways of meeting the need. Trust him. Trust him.
After all, this business of living by faith is not peculiar to the so-called full-time preacher. The just shall live by faith. This is open to every believer.
Jehovah Shammah, the changing of the water into wine. Jehovah Rapha, the healing of the nobleman's son. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the miracle on the impotent man beside the pool in John 5. the fourth miracle or sign, Jehovah Jireh, the feeding of the 5,000. The Lord will provide. He certainly did on that occasion. The fifth sign, also in John chapter 6, verses 15 to 21. I refer now to the storm on the lake. Wonderful miracle. The interesting fact is that all the four Gospels record this. Now, some Gospels record events and miracles in the life of our Lord Jesus that the others don't. But as far as the miracle of the stilling of the storm is concerned, on the lake, you have it in Matthew 14, you have it in Mark chapter 6, you have it also, or do you? We'll have to check up on that, brother, won't we? I told you about the 60 cup 10 minutes ago. Maybe not. No, I think I'm correct in saying this. Just to get this over now, I don't remember, Luke's Gospel does record that. Matthew does, Mark does, and John 6. That's correct. But it is interesting to look at what miracles the Gospels record and what they leave out. There's no contradictions and not clashing with another Gospel. There's lovely harmony, isn't there? Each Gospel is distinct. Some things in the life of the Lord Jesus, like the going into Jerusalem on the white, well, on the colt anyway, is found in all the four Gospels. But likely, maybe, I think I'm correct now as I have a rethink on it and do it quickly, publicly, on the platform. Gotta be careful, you know, in your ministry. Made worse when it's on tape. Well, certainly Matthew mentions the miracle. And Mark mentions the miracle. And John mentions the miracle. The stilling of the storm. Let's just talk about this for a few moments. What Jehovah title do we see here? Well, very, very clearly and very, very definitely. It is Jehovah Shalom. Shalom. What's that? The Lord send peace. That title is found in Judges 6 and verse number 24. The disciples have left the crowd now and serving the Lord at the feeding of the 5,000. And the Lord directs them to get into the boat and go to the other side. He's not with them. Mark tells us in Mark chapter 6, he's on a mountain. And Mark tells us he saw them toiling in ruin. If you ask me how the Lord saw them, well, it was dark, and he's on the mountain at some distance, there in the middle of the lake, and his face is upturned to the Father in prayer, and yet he saw them. Isn't that wonderful? He saw them. Does that not prove his divinity? I think the Lord in the mountain in Mark chapter 6 would be a delightful picture of the Lord Jesus at the right hand of God as our great high priest, caring for us, praying for us. He sees us. Isn't that great? He sees us in all our trials. But he's not only in the mountain. He's on the water. He's on the sea. And the thrilling thing to me is, he doesn't say first of all to the stormy waters and the wind, peace be still. And then, when it's all peace, walk in the water. Now that would have been miracle enough. Wouldn't it? But he still walks on the water while the storm is raging and makes those stormy waters, how wonderful, the pavement of his feet. Isn't that great? That tells me of his providence. I remember seeing a sign outside of a big building. On the front there was a lot of marble floor and it had been washed. There was a big sign saying, please don't walk in the water. Please don't walk. Well, it was a man who tried that, Peter in Matthew 14, and he began to sink, of course. Don't blame him too much. No one has ever done that, tried that before. His eye got off the Lord, and you know, if we get our eye off the Lord, we'll struggle, and we'll go down. I think he could swim, because in John 21 he swam to the shore, but he didn't trust his swimming on that occasion. He cried to the Lord, Lord, save me. A good gospel illustration. Don't try to get to heaven and save yourself, if you're not saved tonight. Just cry, Lord, save me. And what you can't do, he will do. On the mountain, his priestliness.
On the water, his providence, and in the boat, his presence. Why, as soon as he got into the boat, there was a great calm. I've been a couple of times going over there in Israel to try to encourage the little assemblies, not many of them, pray for Israel, pray for the Testament in Jerusalem, only about 8 or 9, and maybe less in fellowship. And I've been twice on the Sea of Galilee. It's lovely. You know, they would tell us there, if a storm can quickly come up for several or more hours, but it takes quite a while for things to recede and settle down. But on this occasion, in this miracle in John chapter 6, and it's found indeed in the other gospel, instantly, immediately, there was a great calm. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ manifested himself indeed on that occasion as Jehovah Shalom, the one who sends and the one who gives peace. Child of God, I want to say to you, if there is some trouble and difficulty and some little storm in your life, or big storm for that matter, I want to tell you, he wants to make it the pavement of his feet. He may not give you immediate release, but he'll give you the grace to come through it. The time may come in his wonderful ways that he may deliver you from it, but he cares, he understands, he would draw near to, and he would give you his peace. How wonderful. When I come to John chapter 9, miracle number 6, I think I refer to the Lord's ministry to the blind man, put out of, excommunicated, the terrible thing, what that was indeed to a Jew, the most abhorrent thing to them, the greatest tragedy possibly could happen, to be put out of the synagogue. I think in this miracle, and after the Lord had restored the sight of the man, we see the Lord Jesus as Jehovah Rohi. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. For the Lord Jesus, with shepherd care, found out the man, knew what had happened to him, and ministered to him, and revealed himself as the Son of God to him. He didn't leave him alone. He gave him what was necessary. He was compassionate. He was caring. He was considerate. And that dear man knew something of the shepherd ministry of the one who is Jehovah Rohi. I wonder, are we enjoying the shepherd ministry of Christ in a very definite and in a very real way? You know when it says, in Hebrews 13, let us go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Would have been extremely difficult for a lot of Jews in those days, believing the gospel, to leave the system of Judaism altogether and to gather alone to the name of the Lord Jesus. And many of them were persecuted, and many of them lost their goods and rejoiced, Hebrews 10 says, in the spoiling of their goods. But isn't it great in that very chapter, what does he say? In his prayer for them, he talks about the great shepherd. The great shepherd. The great shepherd of the sheep. Lovely. Lovely that he brings that in. Oh, yeah. He wants them to know that they can rely upon this shepherd. He'll never let them down. He loves them. He cares for them. And they may have suffered loss and trial. And they may have paid a price in leaving the camp of Judaism to come out to the Lord. They can count on the shepherd. He will minister unto them. Oh, that we might have more and more intimate personal experiences in our own lives, individually, of the shepherd, minister of Christ. It's very, very real. Very real. You know, I go to Northern Ireland quite a bit, sometimes in series of gospel meetings. Long time since I did that. Plenty of preachers there, you know. But I go off in ministry. Love to go. I heard about a dear young girl, about 18. She got baptized, and she was sitting at the back of the hall. She had got baptized the Lord's Day before, and her parents put her out of the home. Put her out of the home, a young 18-year-old girl. And there was a brother visiting that assembly, a Lord's servant. He read the Word of God, as often is the case, at the end of the morning meeting, just for about 10 minutes. And he read what to the believers before would have been a strange verse at such a time. He read from Psalm 27, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will not forsake me. Isn't that lovely? It was just the word that that dear young 18-year-old girl needed. And the servant of the Lord didn't know a thing about it. The Lord always delights to meet the need and draw near. Our Lord is still Jehovah Rohi. And I just have 3 or 4 minutes. I still want to finish on time. Just to mention 2 more titles of the Lord Jesus. I hope you're enjoying these things as much as I am enjoying them. I hope I'm conveying to you I am enjoying these things. I really am. This is not some dry sermon I've had filed for 15 years or something like that. I hope not. I love to give the Christians what I'm enjoying. When I come to the greatest miracle of all, the 7th sign in John chapter 11, I see the Lord Jesus as Jehovah Helion. Helion. You have this in the Psalms. Psalm 7. Psalm 97 and other Psalms. What does it mean? It means the Lord Most High. Jehovah Helion. The Lord Most High. I tell you. I see the Lord Jesus in his deity as the Lord Most High. Jehovah Helion. As he approaches the grave of Lazarus. Christ met the power of sin at its height. And he showed he was above the king of terrors. Praise his name. Or there may have been delay and the sisters may not have understood. But it was all for the glory of God. And they had to rest in the wisdom of Christ. He loved them, the sisters. He loved Lazarus. He's Jehovah. Why do we only have the miracle of the raising of Lazarus in John's Gospel and no other Gospel? Ever ask yourself that question? Well, John's great theme is the sonship of Christ. And I think it demonstrates and proves the sonship of Christ. Whatever way you interpret Romans chapter 1, and Brother Robert didn't touch on that, but declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from among the dead. At least we can see that was true in John chapter 11. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was bound hand and foot came forth. He needed to be delivered, of course, as we, and set free. May I touch upon that another time. But what a miracle, what a miracle. Jehovah, he is still the Lord Most High. Now that could be developed. But finally, 1.5 minutes. That clock goes fast, doesn't it, Robert? The 8th sign, John chapter 21. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3, we have another Jehovah title. There are several more, but I'm referring to 8 just now, and linking them with each of these miracles or signs in the Gospel of John. It is the title Jehovah Sabaoth. Jehovah Sabaoth. What's that? The Lord of Hosts. Do we see the Lord Jesus as the Lord of Hosts in the miracle? By the way, how many miracles did Christ perform in the 40-day period between his resurrection and his ascension? When he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. How many miracles? One. One. Just one. And in John chapter 21, he directs the disciples to cast the net on the right side of the ship and they obey his word. And there's the miraculous draught of fishes and 153. What a blessing. And you know, when they came to the shore, there was the fire, there was the best of all friends, the Lord Jesus, and there was the fish. Where did the Lord get the fish on the shore from? Hey, you're thinking, you young one. He's the Creator. The Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, who has heavenly hosts at his disposal. He's the Lord of all creation. All really belong to him. All owe their existence to him. All survive because of him. Listen, he not only could provide fish from the liquid sea, he could provide fish on the sandy shore. Wonder what was going through the thoughts of those disciples when they reached the shore and saw the fish in the fire. You know, before that, when the miracle took place and they saw the Lord on the shore, standing, there it is, standing on the shore. John says, "It is the Lord, it is the Lord." John knew there was only one person in all the world that was marked by special features like this that could do this. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ. The very one whom they had been with. The miracles they'd already witnessed in his life. The one who had died upon the cross, but now he has risen. The very same one. It is the Lord. When the Lord does provide for us and come in and intervene, even after we have prayed, we can hardly believe the prayer is answered. We just have to say, "It is the Lord. It is the Lord." It's only the Lord that could do this. Only the Lord. I want to tell you. When I look at these miracles, I see that the Savior is Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Rupika, Jehovah Sidkenu, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah Elyon, Jehovah Sabaoth. My friend, I say what I said at the beginning. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jehovah of the New. God bless his word. I transgressed by a couple of minutes, but my brethren will forgive me, I'm sure.